You know, I'm so grateful that our young people are developing a love for the hymns. There are few ways that you can have the great doctrines of God's Word scribed upon your heart quite like learning the hymns of the faith. And I am so thankful that we're preserving them here. And many, many churches are discarding the old hymns. They no longer sing the old Rugged Cross and Amazing Grace. They no longer sing songs like Nothing But the Blood and Grace Greater Than Our Sins. But I'm glad that we do. And I think that many of you know that God is blessing our ministry, and we have been growing. And it's been growing to the place where we've kind of been needing a little bit of help. And we're searching the will of God for our church family, and we've been praying together. And I've been corresponding with the family, Joshua and Esther Stock, and they are living currently in Tucson. And they both have graduated from Christian College, have served a number of years in the work of the Lord, though they're young. Brother Joshua grew up in a pastor's home, and I've had the opportunity and privilege to get acquainted with them. And I asked him if he would come down this weekend and share with us tonight. And I know the hour is later than most would feel comfortable with otherwise, but if I was preaching, I'd just haul off and let her rip anyhow. And I told him, I said, Joshua, we want to hear you preach. Amen. And there's nothing better on TV than what we're going to hear tonight. I guarantee you that. So, Brother Joshua, you come and open the Word of God to us. If you'd introduce your wife and tell us a little bit about yourself and then preach the Word to us.
Brother Don said he's going to wire me. He says I might explode, but that's okay. All right. So if I explode, don't mind me. Okay. Just one of you guys take over. You did an awful good job already. Praise the Lord. Pastor, I want to thank you, first of all, for allowing me to take your pulpit in the church. Thank you so much for your kindness to myself, my wife Esther, down here on the front row. And, of course, we have two babies in the nursery, one in the baby nursery and one in the toddler nursery. Thaddeus, he's our nine-week-old. Matter of fact, he'll be 9 weeks old tomorrow. And we have a two-and-a-half-year-old who is in the toddler class. And thank you for your kindness and showing to us this day as we've been here and as we've been here throughout the last couple weeks. I know we came on the July 4th weekend. Many of you didn't know why we were here, but we were coming just to see the place, get to know Pastor Chapel and Mrs. Chapel and their wonderful kids, and just had the opportunity to get to know them. And so thank you for your kindness, and I'll get started. If you have your Bible tonight, let's go to Genesis chapter 44, if you would. Genesis chapter 44, and I won't preach long. My message tonight's only about, I don't know, 2.5 hours. I'll try to cut it down to about an hour tonight. You're used to it, amen. Well, I don't feel so bad then. No, honestly, I got to go back to Tucson tonight, so I'll be quick, short, and get to the point and get off of here. I'm going to give you what the Lord laid on my heart. Before I do, I was blessed tonight. Were you folks? I mean, I could honestly go home right now and say it's been a privilege to be in God's house. I worked with teens for years, and my heart is blessed every time teens come back from camp. When I know that there's been decisions made, when I know that somebody's been saved, it's a blessing. But can I challenge you guys something? The road's not going to get easier. And you know what? You can do at home what you did at camp. I like what this young man said. He said, if you wait 1 minute to get in the Word, that 1 minute turns into day, that day turns into a month, that month turns into a year, that year turns into no telling how long. I want to challenge you guys, keep in God's Word. There's going to be mornings when you're going to get up. I don't care when you do it, in the morning or in the evening. Whenever it is, stay in God's Word. Because I'll tell you what, God's Word will keep you from sin. Or you know what, on the other hand, sin will keep you from God's Word. Those Scripture you memorize, I can't challenge you enough to memorize Scripture. It's important. If you hide God's Word in your heart, it'll keep you from sin. So I want to challenge you right now. I just want to challenge you, and I'll challenge the whole auditorium, because we all ought to do this. You know, the responsibility falls on the church family just like it falls on the teenagers. They're on fire. They're ready to go. What about you folks? And I better quit because I'm getting excited here and I'm going a different direction. But I was sitting here on the front row a while ago and I read this. To know Him, to make Him known. Folks, for people to know about our Lord, we must know Him. We've got to know who we're serving. We've got to know who loves us. We've got to know who went to the cross for us. And when we know that, and I'm not talking here, I'm talking here. When we know it here, people are going to see it. And teenagers, I want to challenge you something. There's teenagers at your school where you go to school. You have friends that only you can reach. Brother Thumper and Miss Debbie, I know they're great people. But you know what? They can't reach some of the people you can reach. So the challenge is after you. You guys go out. You're on fire. You bring in the young people because they need Jesus. As I heard tonight that the music, you know, serving God is fun. It's fun. You know, many times we think living out in the world is fun, but serving God is a blast. And it's enjoying. Genesis chapter 44. Title of my message tonight, A Joseph Attitude. A Joseph Attitude. And I was really praying, and to be honest with you, the Lord changed my message about three times. You might get a little bit of all three of them tonight, but that's okay. But a Joseph Attitude. And I was thinking, I says, the real thing, that's a theme for this year, for your church. There's not a better time to have a theme like that, the real thing. Folks, as we look across our world today, there are so many people that are living a fake Christian life. There are so many people that they have no desire to sacrifice for God. They have a desire to lift themselves up. And as I was reading through the Scriptures, I came across Joseph. And Joseph is he's one of my heroes in Scripture. One of them. I have many of them. But as we look at Joseph's life, there's a lot of people that are in the Scriptures that went through a lot of trials. There's a lot of people in Scripture that when they went through those trials, their attitude went south. But you know what? As I read, I kept trying to find a place in Scripture from Joseph's age of 17 and all that he went through to where his attitude got negative. Where he says, God, I'm tired and I'm sick of you. I'm just going to throw in the towel and I'm going to give up. I'm sure many times he felt like that. But you know, not one time from Genesis chapter 37 to Genesis chapter 45, I didn't see one time in those few chapters that he says, God, I'm going to disgrace you to your face and I'm going to give up on you. He didn't do it. Why? Oh, Sinan, I believe Joseph had a real attitude. He had a real attitude for his real God. There's many times, I believe, in Joseph's life when he didn't realize what was going to happen. I think many of us can witness that tonight. There's things in our life, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what direction our life is going. But can I challenge you with something tonight? Keep a good attitude. Keep a real attitude. Because when you do that, God will come through, I promise you. Genesis chapter 44. We're going to read a lot of Scripture tonight. Bear with me. Pull up your bootstraps. I said I'd preach about 2 hours. Not really. I heard one time that from a well driller that when you're drilling for a well, if you don't hit water in 20 minutes, quit boring. Amen. And I promise I'll quit boring in 20 minutes. If I see you starting to go to sleep, I'll close it off. But bear with me. Genesis chapter 44. We'll start reading verse 16. And we're going to go down through the end of the chapter. Verse 16, and Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also, with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in the peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears. And let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidest unto his servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidest unto thy servant, Except your youngest brother come and come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And the father said, Go again, and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down if our youngest brother be not with us. If our brother be with us, then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face. Except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me 2 sons, and the one went out from me. And I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, a mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would be with me now as I share this scripture. Lord, we covered a lot. There's a lot I have here to cover. May you help hearts and lives to be open to your word tonight. May you hide me behind the cross. Cover me by your blood. I need your help tonight. And Father, I pray that we would have an attitude like Joseph did. Lord, that we would never give up, but that we would stay strong. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. A little background here that we're going to cover. Many of you know Joseph at a young age, his brothers hated him. They couldn't stand him. They wanted to do everything they could to get rid of him. And so what they did one day, his father sent him out to find his brothers who should have been tending to the sheep. And when they did that, they found Joseph and they brought Joseph aside. And they says, We can't stand you. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him. I'm thankful they didn't kill him. You know what? Later on, I'm sure they're thankful that they didn't kill him. So anyway, as they went on, and they ended up throwing him into this big pit. And I just want to share with you guys something. Genesis 37, verse 8. The hatred of his brethren toward him. We see that their hatred toward Joseph would bring anybody to the point to say, What use is it serving my God? What use is it? Just the hatred of your brothers. I couldn't imagine. I have two brothers and 2 sisters. And we all get along. I have a mom and I have a dad. And we all get along. But I could not imagine one of them hating me enough to kill me. I couldn't do it. And I caught myself saying, What would my attitude be? Would I be up on this platform preaching today if that was the case? Would I be serving the Lord? Would I have a heart to serve the Lord? You know what, Joseph? It didn't affect him. We went on, and you see again in Genesis 37, verse 20. Not only did they hate him, instead of killing him, thank the Lord they didn't, but they ripped this coat off that his father made for him. And I'm skipping through real quickly, but they ripped this coat off. And when they ripped this coat off, they dipped it in blood of an animal, of a kid. And they took that coat and they ripped it off, they dipped it in, and when they did that, they threw him in a big pit. I can imagine. Going from your father's favorite down to a dirty old nasty pit. You know, now granted, was it right that Isaiah, that was his father, is it right that he chose him as his favorite? I don't believe so. But it doesn't make it right for his brothers to hate him. So they took his coat and they dipped it in this blood and they threw him in this pit and they took the blood over or to his coat stained in blood and they took it back to their father and they says, "Dad, we found this. It was all ripped. Here you go. We don't know if it's Joseph's coat or not. Is it?" They're playing dumb. "Is it?" That's what sin does, folks. Sin makes you lie. And you get to begin, you get in deeper than you want to go. It'll keep it longer than you want to stay. Sin. So they took his coat and his father, he took that coat, Jacob did, and he grabbed the coat and he began to feel it and he began to weep. He got so upset, he took his own clothes and he ripped them off. He said, "This is Joseph's coat." He said, "He must be torn into pieces." But yet, he wasn't. Thank the Lord. But they didn't know that. Joseph, I believe, still kept his eyes on the Lord. We go on to 37, verse 28. And he was drawn out of the pit by the Midianites. And he was sold to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. He was sold. Now, folks, I don't know about you. I don't know how lower you can get. But then to be sold for 20 pieces of silver. Now, back then, 20 pieces of silver, that wasn't, it was not a lot. It wasn't nothing, but still 20 pieces of silver being sold. And yet Joseph was there through all of this. You know what? He kept his eyes on God. As we go on down, we see chapter 37, verse 36. He went from being sold there. He was sold into Egypt. And eventually he ended up at Potiphar's house. He ended up at Potiphar's house as his main man. And folks, let me stop here right here and tell you this. Because of Joseph's attitude, God allowed him to prosper. God allowed him to prosper. Through all these trials, through all these tribulations in his life, Joseph was prospering. Tonight, I wonder how many of you have some trials. You can't see daybreak. You don't know where the end is. But your attitude is, "Lord, I'm going to keep you in front of me. I'm going to carry my cares and lay them at the altar. And I'm going to leave them there for you to take. And get up, walk away, and forget about them." My God, He's a big guy. He can handle it. So Joseph gets sold into Potiphar's house. That wasn't so good. Things start to go on the upward hill. Man, he's head over Potiphar's house until Potiphar's lovely wife got involved. You know what? She knew there was something special about this man. She knew that he had an aura about him that other men didn't have. The Spirit of God was on this guy. And why? Because I believe his attitude was focused on God. So as Potiphar's wife came in, we see that. We're going to skip over a little bit. Chapter 39. He was tempted by Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife tried to sleep with him over and over and over again, and he always denied to do it. He was tested. So one day, Potiphar's wife, as he was running out of the room, he didn't want to be with her, he grabbed his shirt tail, his coat tail, and ripped some of it. She began to scream. You know what? I play a DVD over in my mind about this story. My DVD is my imagination. But I can picture in my mind, when that happens, Potiphar's wife begins to scream. People come running in, and you know what? For some reason, I don't think they believe her. I don't. I think there's a mindset in their background that, or in the back of their mind saying, Joseph wouldn't do this. This is not Joseph. But you know what? Since it was Potiphar's wife, they took Joseph and he's going back down to the valley again. How many of our lives are up and down, up and down, up? You know, those mountaintops are good, but you better be careful because if you're on a mountaintop, there's a valley coming. But as he was going down and Potiphar's wife accused him of sleeping with her, and which he did not, you know what? His focus, his attitude stayed true to God. He was right there the whole time. Folks, how easy would it have been to get up and say, God, you're crazy. I don't know what you're trying to do. I don't know. I can't handle this anymore. I can't do it. It would have been so easy for his attitude to go and hit the ground. You know what? His attitude stayed true to God. Now, granted, if I saw Joseph at that time, I'm sure in my mind, did he get discouraged? Amen. I believe he did. Did he get depressed? Amen. But you know what makes him different than people today? He doesn't stay there. He gets up and he keeps on going. We see in chapter 39, verse 2, and this is what makes it special. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Again, in chapter 39, verse 21, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Again, we see in chapter 39, verse 23, it says, the Lord was with him and made him to prosper. You know what? Through those chapters, from 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, actually 41 is where it takes a turn for the better. He gets thrown into the prison, you know, after he gets accused of sleeping with Potiphar's wife. He gets thrown into this dungeon. It's not long that he spends there, and the keeper of the place says, hey, there's something special about you. Why? His attitude, folks. His attitude. And the butler and the baker were there, and they had dreams. And who is it that comes and interprets their dreams? Joseph. And it wasn't long, and he became the keeper of the jail. You know, and their jails back then wasn't like our jails today, folks. They didn't have TV. They didn't have nice, comfortable beds. It was a dirt pit. It was a dungeon that he was thrown into. And you know what? His eyes stayed focused on God the whole time. His attitude was good. Let's skip over to 44. I'll hurry and get done. As we see here, Joseph's attitude never swayed. It was, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't know what you're doing, but you're God. Man, what could Freeway Baptist Church do if we got that mindset? Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know where you're going. I don't know where you're taking us, but you're God. We're going to trust you. We're going to follow you wherever you take us. Folks, this church has been around for a long time. Praise God, it's still here. People are being saved. Lives are being changed. As we saw tonight. Keep going. Keep the attitude high. But as we go over to chapter 44, I believe, first of all, most important thing, before God is able to help you do and to have you to instill a good attitude, a great attitude, number one, there has to be confession made in your life. And folks, you know, we confess our sins, as we heard this morning, to get eternal security, to one day go to heaven. But you know, that's just not a one-time deal. That is an ongoing process. I don't know about you, but I'm still a sinner. But I'm saved by grace. But you know what? I got to ask for confession to my Lord. So to keep that good attitude, I believe Joseph was constantly on his knees praying, saying, God, help me to keep my attitude that I need to have. Help me to be real. Because I believe there's people around watching me. And you have a job that needs to be done. Help me to fulfill that. So at number one, I believe that we have to have a confession. There needs to be a confession that needs to be made to God. And then once that happens, God will then reveal Himself to you in awesome ways. ways that we can never imagine. Brother Bobby, ways that you can never imagine. That's totally out of your mind. Lord, I just wish I could, I wish I could get that 1 week pay that I'm going to be out. Instead, he goes a step further. He says, I'm going to give you a full-time position. Lord, there's this bill coming up. I don't have the money to pay it. Lord, I know you promised to take care of my needs. I'm going to give it to you. Folks, God will reveal Himself to you over and over again to know Him so He can be made known. That's what it's all about. How can you do that with a bad attitude? God will reveal Himself to us. Verse number 5 of chapter 45 says, I believe in that part, we didn't read it, but I believe that's where the sovereignty of God kisses the free will of man. I believe that right there in that point of Scripture, God says, hey, He says, where free will of man was running here, and God's path was running here, and at that time they cross paths, and they meet. Free will of man. Let's read that real quick. Chapter 45, verse number 5, and it says, Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. We're going to get to that point in just a moment. But that right there we'll see. God's will, God's sovereignty, kiss the man's free will. Tonight, I guess what I want you to see is, as we go through Joseph's life, I believe Joseph was one of the closest ones to be an example to our Lord Jesus Christ. His lifestyle. He wanted to honor God. And he did that in every step that he could. As we go through this chapter 44, 16 through 34. Pardon me. We see that God blessed him. And we see that as God blessed him and his brothers were in the famine time now. And that was one of the interpretations of the dream that Joseph had to give back in the early parts of chapter 37. That one day there was going to be a famine. And the famine was going to come. No harvest. No food was going to be able to be grown. So people had to go into Egypt. And that's when Joseph was there. And he began to store up for this time of famine. That one day people would be coming to him. I don't think in the back of his mind at that time when he was in Egypt, when he was there under Pharaoh, under his roof, and I forgot to tell you, but after he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker, and after that situation happened, he went to Pharaoh and interpreted dreams for Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, wait a minute, who is this guy? Who is he? He said, this is Joseph. Well, who's Joseph? He's one of God's. You know what? God prospered in that way. And when he did that, Pharaoh says, hey, I need this guy with me. Nobody else could interpret these dreams. This guy did. Bring him up. Give him the best role. You know what? From there, he became the most second powerful man at that time, right under Pharaoh. Never knowing, never dreaming that one day he was going to meet his brothers face to face. Never knowing that he would meet them. But when he did, chapter 44 is where we get there. We see here, and we see that that's where his brothers, verse 16, and Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? How shall we speak? How shall we clear ourselves? This time it goes on. They went to Joseph already, and they gotten food. Joseph saw him, he gave him food. They went back, and they ate dinner together, and blah, blah, blah. And they went on, and they ended up planting a silver cup in the bag of Benjamin, and Benjamin was to come back and be a servant for Joseph when he was in the high place that he was. And Judah was beginning to get a little worried. How are we going to clear ourselves? You know, God's finding out our iniquity. He's finding out that, man, what we did with Joseph is wrong. And you know how many years this was past? It wasn't just like it was a week later. Folks, and that's what sin does. If you don't confess your sin to God, it'll carry on, carry on, carry on. I used to tell my youth group, sin separates us from God. We're here. When we get a little sin in our life, it's here. God doesn't move. He's still right here. But we separate. And you know what? Until we confess that sin and get here, we're separated from God. And I believe that Joseph's brothers, they were here. Excuse me. They were here. Because that sin, they never took care of it. Until now, Joseph told them they need to take care of it. Joseph, at this time, they didn't know it was Joseph. I think Joseph was kind of a little mean here. But you know what? I think it that's what they needed. And as we went on, I need to hurry on. You see here that as we go through the end of the chapter, they knew that they had to come clean. Joseph's brothers. They didn't quite know Benjamin and Joseph. If you're familiar with the story of Joseph, if you're not, I'm sorry for skipping over so much. But they came from the same mother to Jacob. That's why these two were special to Jacob. And Joseph was, of course, gone. So now Benjamin, he was holding on to like he did Joseph. Didn't want him to go anywhere. And so Joseph knew that. He knew that was a situation. So he knew that he had to get his brother Benjamin there. He just wanted to see him. He wanted to make sure that he was okay. So that's what he did. He says, I want you to go home. He says, don't come back and see my face. You're not going to see me if you don't bring your younger brother with you. If your younger brother Benjamin, he didn't say Benjamin, but if your younger brother doesn't come, you won't see my face. So they went back to their dad and they went back and they said, Dad, we got to take Benjamin to get our next food. He says, no, you don't. Just go. He says, you might not bring him back. You guys didn't bring Joseph back. You might lose Benjamin. He says, Dad, we have him. He says, if you do and he doesn't come back, you're going to kill me. My hair is going to turn gray. He must have had hair, amen. You said his hair was going to turn gray. But he says, my hair will turn gray and you'll send me to the grave. Finally, one of them stood up and says, Dad, if he doesn't, we'll be sure he comes back. If this Lord, which they're talking about Joseph, wants to keep him, I'll take his place. I'll take his place. So they finally, Jacob lets them go. They needed food. So he let them go to Egypt. They met with Joseph again. Benjamin was there. Let's skip down to chapter 45 real quick and I'll finish up. 45 verse number 1 says, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him. And he cried. Folks, tonight, when you confess your sin, when you confess your lifestyle, when you give your music, your worldly music over to the Lord, that's the first step. God's going to do amazing things in your life, no doubt in my mind. The brothers confessed, and as we saw in chapter 44, they told Joseph that they were sorry that they had a brother that they did away with. And they lied to their father and told him that he was dead. And Joseph, he got to the point, chapter 45, verse number 1, he couldn't help it anymore. He saw their hearts break to the point to where now he could talk to them. He says, and so then Joseph could not refrain from himself for before all of them that stood by him. And he cried, caused every man to go out from him. He says, all of you servants, everybody get out of here. Go. They didn't understand that. Go. I need to be here with these men. And his brothers were there, and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brother. I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have seen this. I could imagine after Joseph sent out the men, he had tears strolling down his face. He walks over to his brothers and he says, hey guys, I'm Joseph. I can imagine Judah saying, their mouth probably dropped from here down to here. Joseph? No, Joseph's dead. Guys, I'm Joseph. Look, I'm your brother who you sold into slavery. No. You know what? About that time, they were no longer concerned, they were scared. this whole time, the person they were dealing with, this Lord, is their brother Joseph, who one day when he was a little boy, 17 years old, sold him into slavery. At the snap of his fingers, he could have every one of them killed and destroyed. But I think because they made a confession, that's when Joseph was able to reveal himself to them. In verse number 2, it says, "And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians of the house of Pharaoh heard." You know, these people he sent out of the room, this would make a great movie. They were probably in the other room. They probably had their ears up to the doors listening, trying to wonder, what in the world's going on in there? What is this Lord doing? This guy's crazy. But they didn't know behind the story. They didn't know behind the scenes. They were confused. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph." This is what's interesting. "Doth my father yet live?" Out of all the questions he had, the only thing he wanted to know, he knew Benjamin was alive because he saw him. He said, "Does my father still live?" You've got to remember, their mouths were still down to here. They probably had to pick some of them off the floor. Let's see what he says. "And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence." Verse number 4, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." Now granted, this is where the story changes. Verse number 5, "Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life." Folks, at that time, I believe the brothers whose mouths were here, the brothers that were trembling, they stopped. Woohoo! Are you serious? You mean you're not gonna do anything to us? You're not mad? No. You know why? He had an attitude for God. He had his eyes set on God. Now granted, if I was in Joseph's position, which I don't know how long it would have taken me to get there, because I probably would have gave up a couple times. But Joseph had God. And he was prosperous because of that. He had no anger towards his brothers. He was not upset with them. He was actually excited. And as we go on, we see here as the chapter finishes, "For these 2 years have famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be hearing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you in prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance." You know, if I was Joseph, I would say, "God, is there another way to do it? Do I have to get accused of sleeping with Potiphar's wife? God, did I have to get sold into slavery?" You know, Joseph, he forgot about that. That wasn't even on his mind. The only thing you think of, God had a purpose and a plan. Romans 8:28 comes to mind, "All things work together for good to those that love God and those who are called according to His purpose." I believe tonight, if you're a born-again Christian, God has a purpose for your life that He wants to be fulfilled. What's your attitude towards it? How are you thinking about that? Say, "Yeah, but if God has something for my life, He better start showing Himself to me." How's your sins? Are they confessed? God wants to reveal Himself to you. Maybe God's putting you through some of these trials to see if you can handle it. But just remember, His grace is sufficient. As we end the story, I can picture, I want to give you the ending of my DVD playing in my mind. I think it's good. You guys might not. But you're going to get to hear it. After Joseph met with them, they had their big weeping party. Pharaoh came in and told them, hey, you guys need to go get your father. You guys need to move here quickly. They lived in Canaan at the time. And he says, go, I'll send all the chariots you need. I'll send all the wagons you need. But I'll give you all the land you want here in Egypt. Just come. Come, go. And Joseph said, go. And I can imagine, remember, Jacob is still, now Israel, back in Canaan. Every day looking for that chariot to pull up, for that wagon to pull up. I can imagine, he's getting up in age now, and I can say, he couldn't see real well. Hey, is that them? I hear somebody. Is that them coming? No, Jacob, it's not. It's not them. Until the day they came rolling up. You know, they left with probably 2 or 3 chariots, 4 or 5. They came back with probably 15. So the day that they came back, I can see him sitting on the edge of his seat. Is that them? Are they there? Yes, Jacob, that's them. Is my son Benjamin out there? Can somebody tell me, is Benjamin out there? You know, if I was some of the brothers, I'd be kind of upset. But they knew their father's heart. We can't see Benjamin. About that time, I believe that Reuben came running in. He came running in and he says, hey, Dad! He says, yeah, hey, Reuben! He says, is Benjamin with you? He says, hey, Dad, I got something far better! He says, he's alive! And Jacob says, well, good, where's he at? I want to see him! He says, no, Dad, he's alive! About that time, I believe that the next one came running in. Let's say it was Judah. Judah came running in and he says, hey, God, hey, Dad! Dad, not only is he alive, but he's king! Wait a minute, I'm getting kind of confused here. What are you talking about? Dad, he's king! I'm confused. About that time, the next one comes running in, Simeon. I believe Simeon came running in, and he says, hey, Dad! Not only is he living, not only is he king, but he loves us. Dad, he loves us! And he says, guys, the only thing I want to know, where's Benjamin at? Is Benjamin on that chariot? He says, Dad, but Dad, he's coming, trust me. He's there. Next, I see Levi. I kind of picture Levi as kind of the husky one. I believe he ate a lot of fried chicken. Okay. I believe he was the preacher of the group. Good, I'm glad you're not asleep. I believe Levi came running in. Hey, Dad! Dad! Yes, Levi, is Benjamin on that chair? When is Benjamin coming? Hey, Dad! Benjamin's out there. He's coming. Not only is he alive, not only is he king, not only does he love us, but Dad, he's longing for us to come and see him. Guys, what in the world are you talking about? I don't understand. I just want to see Benjamin. And see, Benjamin was the youngest one at that time. He had the most energy. He had all the experience that run in, but here's the problem. When he left Egypt, Joseph loaded him up with 5 outfits, all kinds of necklaces and bracelets, and I mean, this guy was loaded. I can picture Benjamin going, oh, man, he was excited. He had bags probably over both shoulders carrying them. He was excited to get in. And finally, he comes up and he says, hey, Dad, Ben. Jacob stood up and says, oh, Benjamin, you're home. He says, hey, Dad, I got something to tell you. Oh, Benjamin, Dad, I got something. Benjamin, I'm glad you're here. Dad, would you be quiet for a minute? Not only is he living, not only is he king of kings, not only does he love us, not only is he longing for us, but Dad, he's loaded. He's got money. Jacob, at this point, he's lost. What in the world are you talking about, guys? That's my DVD playing in my mind. But you know, folks, how true is that? We serve a God that is alive. We serve a God that is over all. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess one day about our God, to our God. Not only is He King of Kings, but He loves us. He loves us. No matter what you do, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, He loves you. He's longing for us. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. He's building that mansion for us, folks. He's longing for us to come home. Not only that, the last point is funny. Our God is loaded. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So next time that electric bill comes in or the house payment comes in, you don't know where it's going to come from. Just remember, a God that loves you is loaded. And He'll take care of you. That's a promise. Tonight, what's your attitude? Is it this of Joseph? Is it one that no matter what comes into your life, God is in control? Or are you on the edge of wavering? God, first of all, you may be hearing me say, what are you talking about, preacher? What is this God? Who is Joseph? I don't understand. First thing you need to do is meet my Lord. Give your heart and life to Him. You'll never be the same. But those that have done that, how's your attitude? Is it real? Do people see a difference in you? I believe they saw a difference in Joseph. When he walked down the street, they knew there was something different about him. He didn't mix in with the other crowd. Is that the people of Freeway Baptist Church? Is that you?
Great night. And I just thank the Lord for it. And Brother Jonathan Tomlinson, would you come to the platform? Brother John's been doing some work here around the church as an intern this summer. We appreciate him. Soon he'll be going back to West Coast Baptist College. Would you dismiss our service in prayer, please?
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this and every day you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the freedom to worship you freely, Lord, in your house. We pray for our country and for our officials that we can continue to have these freedoms, Lord. We pray for these kids that you would grow them and mold them in the ways that you would have them to grow. And Lord, just work in and through each and every one of us and strengthen us and be with us as we go about our day. In Jesus' name.